You're a walking ad today.
I know.
Oh yeah, what is that merch?
This is yeah. This is something.
this is
rolling right now. Go
that's
ahead.
That's all I wear is my own merch, and it feels
nothing else.
It look, yeah. But that's how you know you like it.
Yeah, exactly.
That you would wear
I make
it yourself.
For myself, you know.
What do you mean? There's nothing else. You have plenty of stuff in your.
I don't like
in your closet.
That stuff, man. It's stuff I want to
work
make.
For a clothing company.
Well, yeah, I'm not into it.
Well, please explain. What's
well, I made it, and I'm gonna release it soon. There's nothing. There's not like a story, you know.
Did you design this?
No, my buddy did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Were you knitting as well? Is that
no,
what you
there's
have
no
an
like inspo story, you know, like
you have child labor. That's
no, it's like a local screen print shop in Los Angeles. A couple of cool dudes.
When is this coming out?
I'm not gonna say shit. Stop talking about it. I wanted to wear it.
All right, ladies.
You know what? I'm gonna change.
I like it. Can
no,
I wear
I'm
that?
Put my jacket on. No, you made me feel weird.
I'm trying to help you.
No, we're sorry, Grace. I'm putting my jacket on. No.
You guys aren't being two cool dudes. You promised me two cool dudes over here.
I thought
here.
We were cool. We're being cool. This is our first big guest on our new channel.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
Whoa, this is cool.
Yeah.
What jacket is this, Wally? Did you make this?
No.
Gentlemen, we have Grace Helbig on the new channel today.
Yeah, yeah.
Grace Helbig, podcast host, actress, author,
legend,
comedian.
Yep.
Cancer survivor.
Yeah,
that's the big one.
That's a new one to add to the list.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of
that's
stuff.
That's so exciting.
Is that the top right now, or is it?
It is. You know what? When you get cancer, it becomes a big part of your world.
Yeah,
so it does become
are.
A bit of a priority. Yeah. It does make it to the top of the list.
Congrats to you.
Thank you, and you too.
Thank you so much.
I'm in your club now.
Yeah, you are. You're fresher off of it. So
yeah, I think I'm brighter eyed, bushier tailed, and. But I think that'll wear off soon.
Very nice. Wow. Well, we just wanted to touch on some stuff on our new channel, first of all.
Yeah.
So
congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So we did have 57K subs.
Right. They were dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So explain this to me. What happened?
Oh, man.
So
walk me
your
in,
agent
walk
may
me
have
it.
Been like, yo, these dudes have 57K subs. You should definitely go on their channel. Blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
I don't care about any of that. But for your own
but now we have one
mythology, what happened here?
So we had this old channel, right? we're doing a rebrand off the TMG Studios channel into our own individual channels, right? All the shows. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, I have this old YouTube channel. I haven't used it in a couple of years or whatever. Mm-hmm. 8, I guess.
It's a long time.
Yeah. And, you know, might as well just start the rebrand from there.
At
the time, it was a good idea. And then apparently it was just like people weren't getting like the notifications when they hit the bell button. Algo was all fucked up.
People deleted YouTube.
Yes, yes. Set.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Our listens on Spotify were higher than our YouTube views, which signaled to our YouTube rep that like we were doing pretty poorly in the algorithm. So we started this new channel as a way to kind of wipe the slate clean. And
is
help.
That how it works? I came here secretly just to get notes on like how to do YouTube. So
are you the mole?
No, I have no idea anymore. So I'm like, we gotta wipe the algo clean.
I guess so. That's what we were told. They were saying that.
It says the most millennial woman in this room.
Well, intro for our guests is you have 2.6 million subs. You've been around for, you're
They're
a pioneer.
Dead. I don't know where any of
okay,
them
gotcha.
Are.
Okay, gotcha. You also have a podcast, This Might Get Weird, with Mamre Hart.
Yes.
So that's also been around for a while as well.
Yeah.
But you're crushing in the algorithm. You're doing great stuff.
I've never tried to cater to the algorithm, which I think is a huge detriment to trying to be
I thought you were
going to
go like heartfelt, like, just do you guys.
This is the challenge challenge that I'm up against now, and maybe it has always been this way, that like I started in an era where it was like hobby turned job, and it still is for a lot of people. Like, it is the best job in the world in so many ways. But then when it became an industry and an algorithm was established and working with an algorithm was, you know, known to yield positive results, I was just like, I don't know, that feels like it takes the soul out of like the work that you do, and you become this like cog in a machine, and you're catering to the AI overlords, and I never
you're
really
this
like
yourself in the mirror, like
yeah.
And I'm not like, the overlords.
Thank you. On the other hand, I'm like, thank you, overlords. Thank you.
Yeah, I adjusted my foil hat and I went on with my day. And I've never, really, like, tried to understand the business side of it, like the way you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And so, algorithm has always seemed like this entire like complete weird mythical creature to me that I've never understood. So if you guys would like to explain it to me, I'm all ears.
I'm always
today.
On the side, you know, if you build it, they will come.
No, it's
a, yeah. Yeah. And,
if they
think
don't
like,
come, find something else.
And
wear merch.
But I do think there's something to say that like good content will rise to the top, but good is like totally subjective. And I think when you watch creators that are really into what they're doing, like authentically enjoying each other, themselves, the work that they're doing, I think that kind of reads to an audience more than maybe an algorithm does. But maybe that's wishful thinking. I don't know.
I had a buddy who, I don't know if I should even be saying this. He signed an NDA.
Wait,
but he told me.
Oh, he signed the NDA.
Yeah, he signed it, not me.
He told you as a entrusted friend.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, whatever. So I guess when Facebook was releasing Lasso, it was like some type of TikTok competitor, right?
Lasso?
Yeah.
Lasso, I've never even
heard of it. Not the show, Ted Lasso?
No. It was
that's immediately what I thought of.
No, it was supposed to be like their version of TikTok before like Reels came out or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they had him and like a bunch of other dudes essentially write like what's funny on the internet. So he wrote like a 30-page paper of like what's funny.
Full dissertation.
Yeah. And like basically the idea was like, as long as you're genuine then. But like they still had to write it.
Wow.
Like send it to the engineers. And then they did fucking, what is it, like focus group testing?
Yeah.
This sounds NDA.
Yeah. They like played videos in front of kids. It was crazy.
Yeah, where are those papers now?
I don't know. You should publish them.
Truly.
But we did have a YouTube rep conversation, just to clue you in, of the inside. We had an inside scoop.
Right. Wow. We didn't sign an NDA.
And the rep told you to start a new channel.
It was 50
up.
Yeah. Okay. It was 50-50. Like, you guys can fucking off yourself with one last video.
Yeah.
Or you can start a new channel and continue this death one last time.
Nice.
Just a little bit longer.
So we did that.
Nice.
Yeah. No,
okay.
But so nothing against, you know, if you wanted to do that or if you're thinking
it's
about
just
it.
It's just like a lot of hassle.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, it is. Yeah. We took a leap. So again, thank you guys for subbing to the new channel.
Yeah. Fresh start.
Yeah. You guys can be under the 2K subgroup. Woo.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Do you have people like clipping your pods and stuff? You're on the TikTok clip.
Explain TikTok to me.
Oh, well. Okay, great. Well, we can't explain it.
This is why I'm here.
First of all,
I want to know your Vine stories.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Well, right? That's how you guys met each other?
Yeah.
And Vine to me was one of those things that I wish I had like a brain for. And at the time, I just like could not figure out how to make 6-second content. Like my brain could not figure it out.
I was watching your stuff. You have the Vine brain. Like you have the skits.
That's
you have the
kind.
Selfie stuff.
I'm trying. But it, like at the time, I was like,
well, Vine's gone.
Vine's gone. So maybe it was okay. Maybe it's for the best that my brain didn't figure it out. But you two met on Vine.
Yeah.
What was the first thing that you saw of each other that you were like, I got to meet this guy?
Oh man, so I reached out because I thought he was so funny.
Oh, that's
like,
so
it was
sweet.
So genuine. It was so him. Whatever. I was like, oh, let me DM him. Like, it would be fun to hang. But then, what I found out years later, he was commenting on my videos, like as like a spam bot, like, check out my stuff.
Wait, what?
I make funny bits. Like,
you were spamming
and
his channel for your own marketing?
I guess like he accepted himself in my brain.
I thought you were going to bring up the Indian restaurants.
Oh, yeah. And then our first time hanging out, he like, there's all these restaurants in Long Beach, right? Like all these, like, yeah. like a strip in, on Second Street. And the first place he takes me to, it was like the first stop. And he was like, it was like an Indian restaurant. And he's like, you want to go here?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I guess. I'm not even Indian. I was like, thinking, because he lived there. I was like, have you ever been here before? He goes, no. I was like, what the hell? Why are we eating
It was a good restaurant.
No, it wasn't. We went back. It was still cheap. Bad.
You guys are so sweet.
Thank you.
You were trying to impress each other.
See, I guess.
Yeah.
And here you are.
But our humor matched on Vine. But it was just, I would say Vine is just, you have to get that joke out super fast.
Yeah.
And now it's just like
confidently fast.
Confidently
like you
fast.
Have to go like, this is a great idea. Let me make it right now. Go.
I would say Vine it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I
really?
Was very glad that I conquered it, I guess you could
yeah,
say.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We did it. Like yeah. we fucking got the jokes out. And like yeah. I don't think a lot of people could do it anymore, to be honest.
But I mean, is that how similar do you consider TikTok to Vine now?
So I was going
to
say, like, the jokes are obviously more concise, but TikTok now is like Vine with just a few more seconds added on both sides. Like,
okay.
a few more seconds added to the intro and a few more seconds added to the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. I would say, like, the best TikToks out right now are, what, like, 15 to 30 seconds?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But aren't they pushing, like, minute and a half?
Yeah,
you
they are.
You can do
something.
10 minutes. I watched
yeah.
a movie.
Right.
I watched a movie in clips.
You watched Dune 2?
Really?
No, that would have been
Dune 2
long.
Was great.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice. Okay. Not on TikTok.
Not on TikTok. yeah. No.
Yeah, they are pushing out like longer form, but I just don't think it's going to do well. But yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
As we sit here doing a full length podcast.
I know. Well, that's why, like, so on our new channel, we're trying to do shortened videos, more like skits, more bits and stuff like that.
Cool.
And hopefully get that algorithm back up and at them. But
so you just didn't do Vine at all when it came out? Like
I didn't do Vine, but it felt like this pressure because it became such a massive thing. You have people like Brittany Furlan and King Batch and like all of these people that are like, you know, huge names that are growing out of this platform. And at the time, it was just like Instagram was, you know, flourishing and then Facebook. And it was so stressful to feel like, do I have to make content for every fucking platform? Can I curse on this?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yeah.
For every fucking platform.
Yeah.
And well, it was just, and that was like racking my brain to make so much content on YouTube that I just like, I was burnout at the time too. I was just like, I simply can't add another platform to this right now. So it would, but I was like, this is very cool. I have such admiration for how, like I said, confidently quick you guys were able to generate ideas and to do it on the go. Like I remember hearing about people on Vine editing their videos on their phones in Ubers. And I was like, that's not how you make content. You have to have Final Cut and you have to sit at a computer. You have to have a very rudimentary understanding of editing.
Yeah.
And I was, it was just unbelievable to me. It was the first time that I felt like, oh, I'm getting old and I can't keep up.
I don't, yeah. I like I said, your content is still like right there with like that's the right. Vine age and the like the TikTok stuff now, you're right there. So yeah.
I'm dabbling. I'm trying to have fun again and not think of it. Are you?
We just had a whole algorithm talk, but I also am not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because it's like you can become so soulless when you make content strictly for the algorithm.
I think I got like that at one point on Vine. I was like, I gotta hit 1.5. I'm so close.
Yeah numbers.
And I did
really
it for like 3 months, just hardcore.
Yeah.
Making videos, and then then it felt icky after.
Yeah.
More background about you, about your podcast. This might get weird.
Yeah.
How did you meet Mamre Hart?
We met on a sketch comedy team in New York City at the People's Improv Theater. We were both placed on this sketch comedy team that existed previously, and they had like lost two members. We didn't know each other. And the first sketch that this sketch comedy team put together, like pitched to us, was called Everybody Loves Grace. And where everyone on the team was in love with me and everyone hated Mamre. And so that was how we met each other. And after that, I was living in Brooklyn, working for a company, making YouTube videos at the time, like kind of secretly and privately, because I was trying to do New York comedy scene. And so the internet was like this, oh no, nerdy.
Scary,
like, well, it's like no one knew about it and everyone looked down on it compared to like traditional kind of tracks in comedy. So it was like my secret little life that I had. But Mamrie saw that I was making videos and she was like, I have an idea for a web series called You Deserve a Drink. I'm a bartender, but I want to make like comedy videos. I don't have any equipment. Could I come over to your place and could you help me shoot this? And we lived like a mile away from each other, we realized. And so she came over and we shot and it was so fun. And then like we just started working on projects from there and making videos together. And yeah. Now
she's an Indian restaurant. Oh.
No, I know.
Some Italian, like I saw you follow Cheesecake Factory on your TikTok. Are you a huge Cheesecake Factory fan?
Yeah, it started as a joke and now it's like, see, well, because you know, I'm raised in the suburbs, so Cheesecake Factory was like Mecca. The fanciest restaurant you could go to. I've also worked at Chili's and Applebee's and Olive Garden. So
I'm so nervous.
Chili's.
I know. Oh, sorry. I should have led with that. Yeah. Yeah. I worked at my favorite restaurants growing up. Nice. So I was like at 16, being like, I'm peaking as the hostess of this Chili's by the Deptford Mall. And Cheesecake Factory was always the one that everyone wanted to work at because the prices were higher, so you could make bigger tips. But the menu was insane to study. So it was always this like echelon that I could never get to. But now, when I rung the bell for breast cancer, they sent me a $100 gift card.
Oh, fuck yeah. Dude, I got sent a Chili's package. I got sent,
did you?
Yeah, I got sent a shirt. No. And I got sent a gift card, and I thought like this was like my first ever gift from Chili's. I was like, oh, dude, this gift.
But the
card.
Packaging was incredible.
It was like a legit like influencer package. You know what I mean?
So
it was like
a
huge box. It played music
totally
when you opened it.
Totally not recyclable. Yeah. Like a waste of materials.
Gift card was $25.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not like cancer related or anything like that. If it was $25, I would have been like, all right, like fucking sick.
Yeah. I see how you value life. Cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
But I took my wife out to Chili's after a 49ers victory.
Excellent.
And had to cover the rest of the cost.
Nice. That's always the best when you give the gift card and then also your credit
card. Yeah, she was like, so this is done now. I was like, okay, and this is the check done as well, right? Absolutely not. You owe $70. I was like, fuck yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. How was your waitress hostess life?
Very honestly, not fun is not the word I want to use, but I think extremely formative. Like
it was one of my favorite jobs ever.
Really? I was so bad at it because I was probably 19, 20, 21 in those years as a server. I like hardly drank, so I had no idea how to upsell alcohol, which is how you make all your money serving. Yeah, so people would be like, I want a martini. And I'd be like, what kind of tequila would you like in that? They'd be like,
ooh, I love a martini.
Dude, when they asked for like alcohol references, and I was also the same age, I would have zero clue. Didn't drink at all. I didn't drink until college. So I had zero idea about it.
Yeah, it was, and I was also like very shy. I think I had just started taking like improv classes in New York, and I was waiting tables while I was at school. And so I had like no personality. Tour. Like if I did it now, I would crush as a server.
Oh yeah.
But then I was just like trying to get through shifts, just trying to get maybe 20% tip on a bill would be incredible. But also it was like I was working at Chili's, then at Applebee's, and Applebee's was just like the place where all the high school kids went on their like Saturday nights. So you'd have a table of about 12 kids that would order one order of boneless chicken wings and then waters for everyone. Dude, and then they would sit there for like 4 hours and then
wait for the parents to pick them up.
And they couldn't decide amongst themselves who was going to pay for these boneless wings. And you're like, Jesus Christ.
They'll have
awful. Cats.
Yeah.
But I do think like everyone should at some point have some experience in the service industry. I think it helps you just like understand and relate to people and have empathy and compassion for people that work in that world. It's interesting. Mamrie was a bartender for like years and years, so I think she and I had similar sort of like backgrounds and understandings of things. But I'm okay not doing it anymore.
Yeah. I think it's better when you do it younger because when you're growing up, you're like, you're still learning how to talk to people and be social and like, you know, breaking the ice. And I think working in food is probably the best.
What do you think of the automation of serving? Do you think
robots?
Bro, I mean, I'm a little scared of the AI of it all in general, yeah. As we've already seen some Freudian slips of our AI overlords. I know it's going to be good. I like it at the airport. Nice. I like when I can sit at an app.
At the airport? Yes.
Yeah, like in the Philly airport, you can sit at an iPad and order yourself a drink. And I don't mind that because I feel like, you know.
Don't need to talk to anyone else.
Yeah, it's for the best. But I think like I also worked at like fine dining restaurants where it's like people are, this is their profession. They're professional servers. You can make really incredible money if you know how to work that system. So I don't know that robots can replace that, but we'll see, I guess.
Can't replace personality.
Yeah. Like especially if you go to like a steakhouse or something. Yeah. They riz
can
you
they
up.
Crumb a table?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Cause like offer alcohol recommendations. Yeah. Think about it.
Due to your palate, it looks like you would love.
Due to your alcoholism.
They would probably have a great recommendation. Yeah.
But like at a steakhouse, they always like, you know, look, a guy like you, you deserve to eat this kind of steak.
Kenny, can we play that one clip? I know you wanted to save it, but just the server.
This is fantastic. Yeah. I guess they have.
Finding out you're a server now or ex-server.
This is very topical. So,
oh, yeah. I saw that this is in France, this croissant and water race.
Wow. Knowledgeable.
Yeah,
I'm in the algorithm
it.
Of Instagram that feeds me this.
Kenny, you want to tee us off?
Yeah, so basically this is a race that happens every year in Paris. I guess it's been happening for decades, but these waiters have to carry a tray of water. It looks like an espresso and a croissant. 1.2 miles, and you have to like fast walk it. You can't run.
You can't run,
the Great
right?
Depression of serving? This is sick.
Yeah, it looks like it dates back to 1929.
Wow. Can crazy. Robots do this, guys?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah. Look how cool that is. Look how cool that looks.
Although the LA robots fucking pissed me off. The one that ran you over, dude.
Oh, yeah. The fucking...
Oh, the delivery?
The ones? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jumped in front of one.
Trying to get a lawsuit. Trying to hit him.
Well, yeah. What happens when you get in its way?
He broke a pinky.
No. Oh. Oh, it's for the case. Yeah. They just stopped. They're pretty good about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, now the cars are driving. You see, they're rolling out full self-driving on all Teslas.
The Waymo things?
No, not Waymo. On all cars, if you own a Tesla now, you're going to have 1 month full self-driving for free.
Is it a system you pay for? You pay for the self-driving?
You're supposed to, but now they're like, our AI overlords are like, you could do it for 1 month for free.
Wow. Yeah. Do you guys have Teslas?
I do. I'm going to try it after this.
Are you going to? You're going to try it? That is such a relinquish control.
I know. No. I'm excited for it. I think driving, you shouldn't be driving.
I agree. Out here?
As opposed to what, dude?
Like, I don't know. What if I would just leave my phone or, you know, get work done or something?
Just focus on the road for like 30 minutes. You could do it.
No, driving should be as an old...
As I make videos while driving.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. anyways, Grace, would love to get into the deep, dark stuff of the cancer world.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your experience as I deflect immediately.
I was like, okay, yes. The deep, dark world of my world. Yes.
Well, no, I'm curious.
No, yeah. So I had like a lump in my ball, right side, in December or early December, November-ish of 2020.
Wow.
Just ignored it for a while. But I felt it while like showering.
Yeah.
Had my wife check on it. She was like, I think I feel something, but I'm not sure. I was like, okay. My birthday was December 31st, and she was laying on me, and she was laying on my nipple, and it ended up being gynecomastia, which is breast of men, so okay. Swollen nipples.
Wow.
And that is affected from the tumor affecting your hormones and making you think that you have estrogen or something like that.
Yeah,
so it gives you breasts. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm a double D right now. But it was like painful.
Wow.
So then I was like,
painful here?
Yeah, in my tits.
Wow.
So that was in January. I was like, hey, definitely something's going on.
Yeah.
So then I went
This is during pandemic, like height of pandemic.
The end of like the first wind of
right.
it. So I went in January, or no, it was like June or Jan. No, I went in January and the doctor first misdiagnosed me.
Whoa.
I did blood and urine and they tested me for cancer, but I didn't have it.
Okay.
So then I went again like 6 months later, diagnosed, of stage 2B testicular cancer.
Wow.
And I was like, fuck, like, I'm pretty sure I could have caught it a little earlier stages if that was the case. Ended up doing 3 months of chemo after surgery, which is kind of crazy because some doctors say that I should have had the reverse. I should have had chemo first, and then if it went away, then I could have saved my ball, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they just eliminated the tumor first and then gave me chemo to eliminate the rest of my cancer from my body.
Wow.
So not sure if that was the best case scenario, but whatever, it happened.
You're in such a whirlwind. How do you even weigh those options?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. So it's always fun to get the second opinions after the
surgery
happens.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you could have just.
But
see, I forget in the medical world that you can even get a second opinion.
I know, yeah.
I'm so rule follower, doctors are beyond the scope of what my brain can understand. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. That I'm like, I believe everything they say to me.
Yeah. So I was in, again, the COVID world.
Wow.
And during the chemo life, was just depressed as fuck. Just no one around me. It was just the enclosed chemo areas.
Wow.
I didn't have my wife, no friends.
Yeah. Oh, well, your wife couldn't be there.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just,
wow.
But the nurses are so good. I love them. They were the best. But I was reading during chemo, and even reading turned into something gross because even after cancer and everything, because I just affiliated reading with chemo. Yeah. Yeah. So I hated books. Just randomly.
Wow. Because, I mean, that's a cautionary tale.
If I see a book, I'm not.
Yeah. I'm good now. Yeah, I can read.
That's
why.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was it took me I would say a year, 2 years to fully just be back on my feet. And that was I wanted to ask you, we rang the bell.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yo, you crushed cancer, congrats. And I'm like, I still, in the back of my head, I was like, it's coming back.
It's the weirdest feeling ever. Yeah. Congratulations. And I know it feels fucking bizarre still, especially you had trauma on top of a global trauma happening. Yeah. So for you to be able to process all of that, I'm sure is a constant, what the hell happened? And what the hell happened to the world at the same time? Like, we were only processing this global thing. You had a personal crisis at the same time. So I commend you for even doing comedy and being at this part of it.
I definitely took it as a joke. But yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I had to kind of really hold on to humor throughout the whole thing. It was the only way I could really process the intensity of it, because it was such, for me, I had a lump in my left breast that I had felt similar for a while, but kind of in denial of that's not what that feels like. I have no one teaches you how to check all of this stuff. And even when you Google it, there's kind of a wide net of opinions out there about things. And also, I was relatively resilient and healthy and hadn't had any history of this. My family has no history. So it was just this is so far reaching for me to think that this is anything. Mm-hmm. And then I showed my husband, and he was quietly convinced. He told me afterwards that he was oh shit, but wasn't trying to let on that it was anything. And he was maybe ask the gynecologist about it. And I was I guess. And then in a couple of weeks, it'll be a year to when I had my gynecologist appointment, just a regular exam. And she felt around. I was just seeing if maybe she would feel it first and say something. And she didn't. And she was wrapping up the exam. I was by the way, I felt a lump over here. Did you notice that? And she felt around and was oh yeah, okay. Yeah, let me give you a list of surgical doctors that you can go see, and they'll check it out. And if it's anything serious, they'll order a biopsy and a mammogram. And I'd never had a mammogram before. I still trend younger than the ages that they're encouraging women to get mammograms. Yeah. And now I'm every woman in their 30s should be out there getting a mammogram just to check.
That's the one where they crush your tit, right?
Yeah.
I had that for my gynecomastia.
Yeah,
motherfucker.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
I had a biopsy in that machine. Ooh. They squish my tit and then put needles in it. And it was some of the, the craziest thing is I've been a much, radically like healthier relationship to my body than I've ever been in my adult life, which the weird byproduct for me of the whole experience, and I'm continuing to process. I still think I'm like just now hitting like the PTSD of like, what the fuck just happened for the last year? The whiplash of it all.
A wild ride.
Yeah, because as soon as...
It's going on for a little longer.
I've heard, and everyone's warned me about that. So I've been kind of conscious that that my mental health was going to be up for grabs. And I thankfully worked with like a really great therapist that I like doubled down on like seeing throughout the process. Yeah. And also like it sparked this weird purposeful feeling of making content throughout the process. Yeah. Like I had been pretty burnt out. I went to grad school just to get away from YouTube for a little bit and still continued to podcast, but wasn't really trying to make content because I just like couldn't wrap my head around like who fucking cares what I have to say about anything. Yeah. Like I was just in that phase of being like, this is a narcissistic playground and blah, like just a bad spot. And then got some perspective, went to grad school, started to feel like back into myself a little bit, and then got this diagnosis and was like, oh shit. But as soon as I shared it, because I was like, I can either keep this to myself and try to just go through this as privately as possible, which will be tough, but is possible, or I can tell people what's going on. Bizarrely, I had this like timing where a friend of mine, Hank Green, who is a content creator, TikToker, YouTuber, godfather of like internet, got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma like 2 months before my diagnosis. And I was watching him share his experience with his audience and texting him like, I'm so inspired and encouraged by how you're handling this. Like you should, I know this is crazy. You should feel so proud or something like that. While I'm like quietly waiting for my own biopsy results in the background. Yeah. And then like a month later texted him and I was like, so I know last time I was like, good job. But guess what? Yo! I got it too.
We in the same boat. Yeah.
So, a spicy spy. And it was very weirdly helpful to be able to make content through the process for it to help me process and also to realize how many people are affected by this or know someone that is going through it or even something similar like an autoimmune disease. I have been very privileged to be like completely not exposed to the medical world for my entire adult life. Yeah. So this was like the first time I had been in hospitals for extended periods of time. And it was and still is very strange to think how much your world gets completely turned upside down, but also how much everyone like Chili's was like rushing to help me and offer support and be like, hey, I've gone through this. I know this person's gone through this. Do you want to talk to this person? Here's some tips. Here's what you need. You should work with this doctor. But like an overwhelming amount of information that really was helpful and just like beautiful to see how immediately responsive people were to be helpful. And I was just like, I got to pay this forward in some way. And the only way I could think in the time was just by sharing the experience of it as much as I still want, you know, not all of it, obviously, because it's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Do you ever look back at like some of the earlier stuff? Do you ever like rewatch those videos or anything like that?
Not yet. I sometimes I'll see like a thumbnail of my announcement video and I'm like, well, wow, she was really scared and it's like a little sad, but at the same time I'm like, it's an up and down experience. And thankfully, knock on wood, like I had a pretty okay like experience through it and I'm in remission now.
What stage were you?
They think it was like 2B. It was triple positive breast cancer, either 2A, 2B. They weren't entirely sure. But same thing, like had I the year before told my gynecologist like about something, might have been different because I had to do 6 rounds of chemo and then figure out what kind of surgery I wanted to do after that. Thankfully, I had a friend that 4 years later or 4 years earlier had the same diagnosis, same exact treatment plan. So at least triple positive breast cancer was very treatable and there was like a very black and white treatment plan for it. Yeah. So I didn't have to wrap my head around like, okay, what's plan B and plan C and plan D in case this doesn't work out. So I had a pretty straightforward path, which was really helpful when suddenly your world feels like a fever dream.
Yeah.
And you're just
when
like,
he found out, the, I haven't gone to the doctor. Maybe like there was like a span of like 4 or 5 years. I never like didn't go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again. Literally the next like week got everything.
Did
like,
you
blood
good.
Work. Yeah. Physical. Cause it was so. Scary.
Yeah. That's the. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you get like the DM. I'm sure you see the DMs of like, oh, I have this. Like, can you like describe if this is what you had? I'm like, guys, I'm not going to fucking answer your questions. Yeah. Just please just go to the doctor own. Like, I'm not going to like fucking tell you to go like. Turn your head and cough to the right, and if you feel like I don't know, like
I didn't know what I had. That's the whole point. I had to get a doctor to tell me what was going on.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of young women that have gotten their mammograms for the first time and have either found something or found something and it wasn't something, and either way it's like just getting checked and knowing what's going on is the most important thing. Because I was very adverse to going to the doctor. I was like, I feel fine.
Yeah.
So I won't go until there's an actual problem.
Yeah.
And yeah, everyone's got to go.
I know. Yeah. There was like a buddy of mine who had like, not to get graphic, like a tennis ball size in his nut. And he had just stage one, rookie stage. And I was like, not like envious, but I was just like, dude, like yours is so much bigger than mine.
Yeah,
like,
what?
I was like,
no fair.
Bodies are so weird.
I was pissed. I was like, damn, dude. And he didn't really have to do chemo or anything like that. So
wow.
He's flexing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like thrown off the wall. Like, yeah.
Wow. No big deal. Yeah.
But I wanted to get more into like the lingering effect of like just your headspace of like.
Yeah. I mean, one, it puts you in a deep appreciation for your body and also a total fear of your body. I still, as optimistic and positive as I feel on good days, I still have that low hum of anxiety that like anything could go wrong at any minute. Like my husband and I just went to Disney on Wednesday as like a we're healthy. We did make that joke. My sweet friend gave me like tickets because she gets free tickets. So we were like, let's go. Let's get really high and run around Disney for the day. This will be awesome. And it was great. But at like 4 o'clock, I felt so tired.
Yeah.
And then I started to like feel that panic of like, oh shit. Can you imagine if somehow I get cancer again from being at Disney?
From Mickey Mouse?
Tired? Well, your brain is just like, my body can do incredible things and also really terrible things. So I'm trying to, you know, regain the autonomy of your body, of being like, I want to trust it as like and take care of it as like a source. It really, you know, that body is a temple kind of thing really sort of shook me this last year, of being like, oh, I can't just like drink as much as I want and eat whatever I want and like bounce back. Like, it's not just that hangovers are going to get a little harder. It's like, I really actually need to take care of my body. And I'm really thankful, because I don't know that I would have learned that lesson otherwise, unless this like weird divine intervention of, you know, some sort of universal energy shaking my body and being like, wake up.
I know, but I don't think, it sounds like you weren't like crazy drinker or like drug
person. I was drinking a ton. I had stopped. I had drank for years, just in my like 20s and 30s, and then had actually stopped drinking for like 6 months right before I got my diagnosis. And I was like, it was the timing of it was all very weird. Like, I had gotten married that fall. I had just graduated that spring. I had stopped drinking. And then it was like, okay, perfect. Your schedule's clear. You're married. You're done with school. You're not drinking. Yeah. Well, here you go. You got cancer now. Yeah, good luck. And it was honestly like it's so weird to be like, it was a good setup to get cancer. Like, it was the okay enough timing for it to happen.
Yeah.
But it still rocks you. And I still feel like I'm in the process now. Like, I go and get these hormone infusions every 3 weeks now for, I think I have like 10 or 11 more sessions of it. And I go back to the center where I got my chemo. Mm-hmm. And I ended my chemo at the end of November. And when I go back to these sessions now, even the smell of the parking garage when I pull in makes me so emotional.
There's this bandage that I asked the nurses to not give me anymore.
Really?
Because it smelled just so horrendous to me.
Yeah.
And they were like, I could tell that they were just like kind of like trying to be buddy buddy with me, like, yeah, I smell it too.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know you don't smell it. It's just like the fucking weird smell. Yeah.
But they've seen everything. I same with you. The nurses were like angels to me. I was just like, these women are incredible. They're so like personable, they're so and professional, and amidst like everything that they're seeing on an everyday basis, like I it really made it clear to me like how wonderful they are and how I can't do that job.
I know. Yeah, I was like downplaying it too. Like, I was only in there for like 3 months, and there's like people next to me. I was listening to their conversations like years and years of chemo. I was like, oh my God. It was like a depressing year. But
Yeah. I did cold capping to try and save my hair through the process so I didn't have to shave my head. And it's like a crapshoot. Like, you. I did it for the 6 sessions, but I still lost like probably like half of my hair just. You know, it's not a perfect system, but you basically freeze your entire scalp so that the follicles, the chemo drugs can't reach the follicles, essentially. So you put this, they wet your hair, they put this thing on, at least the system that I did called Digny Caps. There's a few other systems out there that you can research that all do it different ways. And they basically bring over this, what looks like a portable like air conditioning unit, and it's hooked up to this like cap that you wear, and then it freezes your head. So the first half hour you kind of sit, and it's just like a really intense brain freeze as your head freezes, and then you can't really feel your head for like the 6 hours that you have chemo. And but it sounds like you have an air conditioning unit like on your head. So every chemo session I couldn't hear like anyone that would talk to me, and there'd be these super sweet like volunteers that would come around with like juice and snacks, these older women that were also breast cancer survivors, and I'd just be like trying to read their lips. And I'd be talking to my husband the whole time. And then when I went back for my hormone infusions, I'm not doing the cold capping anymore. I sat there, and my husband didn't come with me because I was like, I can do it by myself. Yeah. I'm going to go. And I sat there, I was like texting him being like, this is the quietest room I've ever been. And he's like, yeah, you were loud as fuck every single time you were there, because I couldn't hear anything. So I'd just be like, what did that woman say? These nurses are so nice. Like, insane. And I was like sitting there just thinking back to 6 different days that I was here for 6 hours a day just screaming at these people. It was very embarrassing. But yeah, there's a lot of, it's strange now to see how all of the feelings come up when I go there. And I'm actually able to like look around and see, because when I was there for my sessions of chemo, I was just like, I'm in my little air conditioned alcove, I'm just gonna like power through
for
and I'm gonna sit here for 6 hours, so I'm not really paying attention. And now I'm going back and I'm seeing all of the people around and hearing them talk to each other and tell their stories, and it's like an incredibly emotional space.
Yeah. Do you have any lasting effects from the chemo? Like, I have like purple lips
from
like,
the chemo.
Yeah, I have like different color shade on my lips.
Oh yeah.
Is there a mark right on this side?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I have a chemo. It's a.
Whoa. Yeah.
It's a mark that like is a whip effect from the chemo drugs or something like that, and I got mine right here. But some people get it like on their back or like other parts of their body. And,
Whoa!
I guess you got a little bald spot too. Right?
Well, yeah. That's not from chemo. Right?
Not just casual.
Grace, you zoomed out on that part, right? Yeah. Cool.
It's been fun to see. Like, my hair stayed for the most part, and then after my last chemo session, that's when the majority of my hair fell out. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I've done 6 sessions with this fucking air conditioner 6 times.
Losing and, friends.
Yeah. And, yeah. Like, not making a good impression on the nurses that I really wanted to be friends with. And then my hair started just like shedding like crazy, which I had been told is possible. So it's growing. So like half my hair is growing back in, and it's like a different texture than the hair that's there now. So this year will be quite a year of discovery as the hair continues to grow back in.
Yeah.
My eyelashes are coming back in a little strange. But now I just have hot flashes, which is just very fun. The drugs that I take kind of push me into like a menopausal state. Nice. So wildly emotional sometimes and get hot flashes, which is just so goofy to me that suddenly my body's just like, oh, we're hot.
Well, I saw you you auditioned for Survivor, so what's gonna happen if you
audition?
I
could never be on Survivor. What? That's the thing. I could never, nor do I want to. Like, I do think I understand how wildly uncomfortable it is to actually be 24 hours a day on that show. I watch the show, but I don't think I would be a good cast member at all whatsoever. Yeah. Would you guys go on Survivor?
Yeah, but I would get like, I'm out first day.
But see, you say that and then you stick, I feel like people would keep you around because you'd be so personable.
Yeah, true. Well, there's like, there was this guy last year. Have you watched last season of Survivor? Remember that dude, Brandon? He was like a content
He commented on my video being like, I set the bar really low for you. Dude, with the glasses and curly hair.
If I put the link in there, I was just like, yo, someone needs to like redeemed. Because he was like the only like content producer from that like season or whatever.
He had a tough go.
Yeah. And so there's a scene where he has to, it's like the first, like, first of all, everybody's excited, right?
Yeah.
He just got on the boat. You know, maybe like 6 hours, like you're into Fiji, you're like...
This is, where this makes me the most nervous. The first challenge, the first physical anything on this show makes me the most nervous because everyone's like a caged animal.
Yeah.
And these are not, for the most part, like they don't cast professional athletes anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'm always worried that someone's going to go too hard and hurt themselves like in a radical way.
This is also first impressions. Like if
you're your team, your tribe.
If you crush it.
You haven't even given it like introduced yourself.
Yeah.
If you crush it, then you're automatically someone that's on the chopping block because you're like, oh, you're too good.
Yeah.
And if you suck, then you're on the chopping block because you're like, oh, this dude's dead weight.
Right.
So you have to be middle tier the whole entire
everything.
So when they did this, they were actually in the lead. They were like so ahead. Their team's like Jazz. Yes. And then can you
Lulu.
Yeah.
And so that now he has to climb up this ladder.
Come on, Brandon.
And this guy just has to get up this ladder inside of a ship.
It's all upper body strength. Oh God! You have Jeff Probst making commentary. Like everyone's a super fan, so it's like your idol is commenting on you doing this.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
oh,
it's so tough.
Oh God!
I have nothing but like. Okay, like, you don't need that shot. Whoever that editor is a piece of shit because he did not need that shot at all.
Oh, and for him to just climb up.
Boy's
gonna
try to help him now.
Jeez.
Wait, so Brandon's the dude that commented on your...
Yeah, he said he set the bar very low.
Okay.
It's like, he's self-aware.
Keep going.
Oh, we're not done.
No, it goes
he's
on
still,
for
he's
a while.
Still not up the ladder.
You're part of the editing, like shit-talking guy.
Well, you don't need this.
Oh, not that shot.
You never needed it.
Pull him up, guys.
It almost makes Survivor into, like, the greatest comedy. At the same
time, because now there's a, I guess, sort of like a debate. I saw a tweet of the, I don't know if you guys are watching the most recent season now. There's a, someone tweeted, like, as a fellow dork, stop casting dorks. Like, please just cast, like, you know, that weird old veteran that, like, knows how to tie knots and make a fire.
The CrossFit pro.
But everyone's, like, a super, super fan of the show, which is fun to see. But I feel like they will underestimate, like, how physically demanding it is, which is why I don't want to go on the show. I think I estimate
how... person.
I'm awful. I can't do puzzles. I can, like, even coming here to park today, I was like, if anyone is outside of the building that's going to watch me try to find a parking spot, I'm going to get into a car accident.
Well, it was funny because in your audition tape, you're like, oh, I can't do puzzles if anyone's looking at me or thinking about me.
Yeah. No.
That's all they're all.
No. I couldn't do it.
You and Mamrie talk about other reality TV shows. You said you're on a reality binge marathon right now. What other shows are you watching?
A lot of Bravo stuff. Nice. A lot of Vanderpump Rules is on right now. The Bachelor just finished. Excellent season. Joey set a very high tier for the quality of men we hope to see on that show. I don't know if you guys watched this season.
I saw the new Bachelors that are coming out, or for the
Bachelorette.
Bachelorette, yes.
Yeah.
But I saw the new men that are coming out for her.
Oh, I haven't seen that part yet.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Well, there's like a carousel of just dudes.
Oh,
they
really?
They looked
average. Yeah.
They looked you know,
yeah,
doable.
Unoffensive. yeah, unoffensive. Yeah, yeah.
Could they climb a ladder?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're watching that. What else are we watching right now? Drag Race, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah, we're in the thick of it in Drag Race right now. Yeah.
Dude in Vanderpump that cheated.
Yeah, the Scandoval.
Yeah, was the Scandoval. Big thing last Tom Sandoval. Season.
Tom Sandoval.
But
and
why
Scandoval.
Is he getting airtime?
That's the big question.
Dude, like, no, this dude cheated.
We don't really talk about that show a lot because it's just not that fun to watch this season.
But now he's going on like a tour of like singing and shit, and it's horrendous singing. But he's like just busting away. He thinks he's the shit. And dude, it's crazy.
And he says on the show that he has to do it for financial reasons, that it's not just him living out his rock star fantasy, that he's got to make money somehow. I was like, have you heard of Chili's? There are other ways to make money.
Yeah. Uber Eats driver, you can be under an alias.
You have to do this. You're a survivor. Wait,
are you guys watching reality television right now?
Me and my wife absolutely love it.
What are you watching?
We watch, well, as traders...
Yeah, I haven't watched I watched the first episode of the second season, but then haven't gotten into it.
Yeah, the UK version of Traitors is way better than the US version they have actual like celebrities for US.
Okay.
And you know that they all have money.
Right.
So this premise of Traitors, if you don't know, is there's faithful people. It's all it's a house of people. It's divided of traitors, which is like around 3 to 4 people, and faithful people, which is the rest of the house. And you try and vote people off in a table of like, okay, this person's a traitor, and then at the end of the voting they're either revealed as the faithful or a traitor, and it's dwindled down to having the last few people win the pot of money.
Yeah,
blah blah blah. Okay, that was the best I can describe that.
Yeah, no, that was great,
thank you so much.
It's a complex game.
Yeah, but in this US version there's actual celebrities, and you know that they have bank of money.
Yeah,
so you're watching it like, okay, so if they win, this is like pocket, this is tax write-off.
Yeah,
for them.
Yeah that's true. Do you watch Taskmaster at all?
I don't.
What's I feel like you guys would love that.
Reggie Watts?
No, it's a British game show where they bring comedians on, and each season there's like 5 different comedians that are there for the whole season, and they have them do these insane tasks, and every episode they show like how each comedian did the task, and Greg Davies, the host, scores them. And it's a little bit like At Midnight, kind of. But it's been going on for like 16 seasons. It's so fun. You can watch it on YouTube. And just British humor to me is like just so good and absurd. But they have all these different comedians, like stand-up comedians, comedic actors, and people like I've never heard of before that are so great. It's great. And a new season's starting soon.
I want them to bring back like MTV reality.
Dude, Jersey Shore?
No, Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore is
still have
rhyme.
I know, but like shows like Date My Mom.
Oh yeah, oh, Next.
Yeah.
Next,
like whatever that era was.
Yeah.
My Disaster Date. Fuck, Disaster Date was so good.
My wife's a casting producer and she has works of like shows like that happening right now.
Man, like she's seen the levels of desperation.
Dude, I sit in on some of her like interviews for like people that she's like casting, and the interviews are fucking like insane. Like I can't obviously dive into too much of the interviews, but I don't know, like some of the shows are like families, so like the people calling in are interviewing like their families to interview the other family so that they can date their parents or something like that.
What?
Just to show
wife swap.
Yeah. It's family. Yeah. It's family swap basically. So if the families work, then the interviewees would work. If that makes sense.
Got it. So an arranged marriage.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. So what my family does.
Yeah. Basically. Is that what kind of reality you want?
Yeah, that's basically.
That's what you're looking for. Yeah.
Wow, what a wild job.
Yeah, it's fun.
So she's seen it all, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And heard it all.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's got some good TVs in the works, good TV shows.
Good
happening.
For her.
Yeah. But I don't, she tried casting me in, or she's part of like a crew of casting people, and some of her casting friends tried casting me in The Circle. And I was the most boring interview of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you want to be on the show?
I thought I could be like an okay, like I can be a good alias.
Yeah, entertaining, like, yeah.
You're going to play alias or you're going to play yourself?
No, I'd be an alias.
What kind of alias?
Because you always have to like, if someone knows
Zach Piona on the show. They're like, wait, I know that guy. That guy sucks. Or that guy's...
Yeah.
So I was going to be an alias, but my interview was like, the person asked what I do for fun. And I like, you have to lie. Like,
you do. You really do. Yeah.
Being married to Tots and listening to all these interviews, like, you have to make the casting producer laugh their ass off.
Sure.
Fucking like be in love with you. So I said I like to golf in my free time. And I don't golf.
That's just the first thing that came
I said I like to golf. And
I juggle anything.
Dude, the guy, I instantly, right when I said that, he was like, nice. And I was like,
oh,
like, fuck. What else am I supposed to say?
I don't know, build car towers or some shit. Nice.
Yeah. Watch TV, hang out with friends.
Like
travel, eat interesting food.
Cockfighting.
Yeah.
I go to Chili's.
Yeah.
Cockfighting would have been good. Yeah, so I thought I would have been good on The Circle. I think I still would be good on The Circle.
Who'd be funny? What would be the alias you'd play?
My friend Bram.
Nice.
Yeah. Bram's a good looking dude.
You know enough about him. Yep. Like, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I don't know. He's got some good shirtless pics. I could throw the it's the part of the show. You guys wouldn't understand.
I gotta watch it again. I haven't kept up with it.
You're good. Kenny, we can lastly dive into Kenny's corner.
Ooh. Sure, yeah. I usually tee off this Kenny's Corner with a few clips of things that I found on the internet to be pretty interesting.
All right.
To start us off, we've already seen the waiter race, but this is a close second. There's apparently a rival. No!
I got deleted! Kenny's Corner off to a...
And guys, that is the conclusion of Kenny's Corner. Thank you so much.
Let's do Gypsy Rose. Gypsy Rose.
All right, we'll do... I actually, you put this in here, so I don't know anything about this, but...
Oh, no.
Well, you know the whole saga with Gypsy
Rose. Yeah, but what's the most recent update?
So Gypsy Rose was convicted of murdering her mother, who was in capturing her for... What's like the kind of diagnosis of like why she did or like the
was
syndrome
she schizophrenic?
No, like when you encapture your daughter.
Like entrapment.
Yeah, oh.
She basically said her daughter was sick her entire life and got and she wasn't
like Munchausen's.
By proxy.
Grace.
Yeah,
Grace part two. With the
hell yeah, Grace. She like made her, told her that she was sick, told the world that she was sick. They got all of this like media recognition, like got Disney tickets, like got all of this stuff. And then,
So she killed her mom after.
She had a boyfriend.
Oh, yes. That's right.
She met this guy online and then got him to kill her mom.
Yeah. But then they didn't end up marrying that guy, right? She married someone else.
Yeah. Well, she's with, is that her husband?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I know there's a huge frenzy and she's been like on TikTok like crazy lately, but I haven't kept up entirely.
Well, anyways, she just got separated from her could be husband or fiance, something like that. But she had a funny Instagram comment of people hating on her husband and saying that basically in summary of that long paragraph, the D is good. The D is fire.
The D is fire. She said they're just jealous.
Yeah.
That the haters are just jealous because his D is fire. And
it's hot girl summer. Yeah.
Dude.
How else do you shut down haters, I guess?
Well, she said the D is good.
The D is great. But now she's back on the market.
Whoa.
I thought that her whole saga of just like jumping into the media world was just like a bold move on her part. Like just getting out of jail and then just jumping on like, she like had like basically TMZ just following her around like everywhere she went. Which I thought was just like a very eye-opening thing to just come from like no phone, no social media, no nothing, basically for a long period of jail time to just jumping right back into like TikTok stardom, which is
It's very bizarre, and maybe is a sign of culturally like we're a little fucked up.
Yeah,
that, I don't know. Everyone jumped on. I know their interest of her, which just like puts her in the algorithm and pushes all of that content to the top. So it's strange to me.
Yeah.
That's what we need for the new channel. We need a murder.
Yes.
That would help us.
But you know what's also strange? Like in the reality TV of it all too, like Bravo has had now two housewives that have gone to jail. And that one of them, Jen Shaw, currently. Do you watch Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? That's a good one. That's the best one.
Yes.
That's the only one where they openly discuss religion, religious trauma. Yep. And on no other franchise do they do it. And it's really fascinating.
Close second and is also, Potomac.
Oh, but Tommy's got a bad season this season.
Oh, really?
I fell off from watching it.
Well, it started off strong.
Yeah,
but I think after, I don't know, they're trying to stretch the storylines out pretty hardcore. But yeah.
Yeah, but Jen Shaw on Salt Lake City went to jail for like 6 years or something now, currently. And she's like in the same jail as Elizabeth Holmes. And there's like photos of them like in the courtyard together.
Whoa.
That's fucking sick.
So it's like, what's the reality show? Like, what am I watching
here? Is this
here?
A Utah jail?
I'm not sure. I thought it was in Texas, maybe, but I'm not entirely sure.
That'd be so tight to be in jail with, like, someone sick.
Yeah, but a Utah jail, you would assume, is just, like, you know, white woman just chilling, you know. Like,
yeah.
I'm hanging out with Martha Stewart.
Yeah, just being Mormon, you know, but it sounded hardcore. Damn.
Wild.
Well, Grace Helbig, go ahead.
Can I save Kenny's corner with one?
Yeah.
Oh, Kenny, you better fucking...
I'm on the comeback trail.
This better be a live link.
This is going to save everything, guys, because 7-Eleven is selling hot dog water.
Oh, wow. Kenny's corner is saved.
What?
Not only is it hot dog water, it's sparkling.
Wait, is this... Yeah. Wait. What? What?
It says, however, the announcement of further details on April 1st have some fans thinking... Oh no, Kenny's corner's off again.
Oh, Kenny, an April Fool's
joke.
Is an April Fool's joke.
No,
Kenny!
You know what? Fuck it. I'm done.
Dude,
I'm done.
I would have had it. I would have drank it.
Really?
Yeah, water?
I would try it. Would you try it, Grace?
Little
hot dog water?
Hot dog water sparkled.
No, I honor my body now.
Oh, sparkling.
Bubbly hot dog. Damn, that segment, I think we got to cancel it now.
I think that was
Kenny's corner is over.
Great. I think you should continue to bring broken links and
be fake news corner.
Where you have to guess what's real, what's legit.
Well, thank you, Grace.
Yes,
for coming
you guys.
On.
Yeah, thank you so much.
First episode on the new channel.
Yeah,
Grace, any plugs you would wish to give out?
You can check out Mamrie Nice Podcast. Let's Make It Weird every Wednesday and Friday over on our YouTube channel, and I'm just at Grace Helbig on all social platforms.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Congrats to you guys, and congrats on the continuous weirdness that cancer gifts us with.
Thank you.
Glad to see you guys out here thriving.
Appreciate you. Grace, thank you so much for stopping by. Make sure to check out This Might Get Weird at Grace's YouTube channel, TikTok, her Vine account.
Vine account's coming back. Vine's
coming
back.
Scary platform.
She's also going to be on the next season of Survivor.
Hell yeah.
Look out for that ladder.
Please sub, guys. Peace and blessings and goodbye.
Bye.